WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. The White House is warning federal agencies to plan for a possible government shutdown. Texas Republican Tony Gonzalez appeared on CBS's Face the Nation.
I don't want to see a shutdown, but there is no doubt in my mind that the country is headed for a shutdown and everyone should prepare as such.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg spoke to NBC about the possible consequences.
For some House Republicans to be propelling us toward a shutdown, it means that air traffic controllers who would continue going to the towers to work would not be getting paid, not to mention that service members not getting paid.
A shutdown would begin next Sunday if Congress can't agree on a funding deal. Hollywood Studios and the Writers Guild Union are scheduled to meet today amid a possible deal to end that strike. CBS's Bradley Blackburn has more.
Variety and other trade publications report the studios have presented their best and final offer for a new 3-year contract. It comes after 4 days of negotiations that reportedly included the heads of Disney, Warner Brothers Discovery, Netflix, and Universal.
Another big strike of the United Auto Workers Union was expanded Friday. WWJ-TV's Kelly Vaughn has an update on the negotiations.
In a statement, Ford says that although they're making progress, they still have significant gaps to close. Stellantis says the UAW seems more concerned about pursuing political agendas than negotiating for their employees. And GM says UAW leadership is manipulating the bargaining process for their own agenda.
Remnants of Ophelia are bringing floods and heavy rain to parts of the Northeast. WJZ-TV's Stefan Dingle reports from Ocean City, Maryland.
Intense rain, gusty winds, and coastal flooding. It's literally been a wash, rinse, and repeat cycle here in Ocean City. The rain is gone. The only thing they've had to deal with overnight was those gusty winds coming in off the beachfront. Otherwise, it's back to business as usual here in Ocean City.
Parts of an asteroid are safely back on Earth.
Touchdown. I repeat, DDO. FRC has touchdown.
A capsule parachuted into the Utah desert, transporting pieces of the asteroid Bennu. University of Central Florida astronomy professor Dr. Humberto Campins explains what they could teach us.
It's going to help us understand the origin of life here on Earth, from the surface of Mars or on the moons of Jupiter or on planets around other stars.
The headliner of next year's Super Bowl halftime show in Las Vegas is... Yeah, that's right. Grammy-winning artist Usher. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hey, y'all. This is Wednesday.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. New polling suggests most Americans support efforts to boost renewable energy. Local governments say they're doing what they can. Here's Mike Mohn.
The survey data from the Pew Research Center finds that 2/3 of U.S. adults say America should prioritize developing sources like wind and solar over fossil fuels. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says at the local level, elected officials are becoming increasingly aware that climate threats are no longer just a future scenario to deal with.
We have to prepare for the impacts that we know are here and are coming. And we have to reduce our emissions so that they don't get worse in the future. And we have to do both of those things at the same time.
The mayor offered those comments in a panel discussion led by the Center for American Progress. She says federal policies such as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act are helping cities fund climate-friendly projects. But she adds most local governments, especially in smaller towns, still lack key staffing to carry out the work. She notes the infrastructure law is giving Madison more flexibility to gain steam on certain projects.
Both our John Nolan Drive bridges to be safer, more pedestrian and bike friendly with better stormwater management. We also just built a new pedestrian and bike bridge over a critical intersection.
As for other hurdles to clear, the mayor says there's still room for improvement in getting the word out to local residents and businesses about tax incentives to make their own clean energy investments. And lingering supply chain issues are another factor municipalities face in trying to get more of these projects off the ground. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
minutes. A week, everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Now, here's your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board, and I am so excited for our next guest, who officially is a guest. He is usually a listener, frequent caller, frequent contributor to the show, and we always appreciate his input. But the backstory behind this is, you know, a couple, but often there are headlines these days that look something, sound something like, Wisconsin's elder care facilities face staffing financial challenges that threaten care. Senior living facilities in Wisconsin, staffing shortage is a crisis. Complaints against assisted living facilities rising as staff shortage persists. We are in this state and across the country, a crisis in elderly care and both finding something that is affordable, finding good care, and it is something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about because you don't want to think about it. And so in a previous issue, when we've talked about this on the show in the past, Joe called in because Joe, this is what he specializes in. Joe is of Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh, specializes in long-term care planning. And we wanted to have him back to talk about this issue, both as a crisis, what policy could actually change some of this, but ultimately, with regardless of what policy changes happen, what you can do to prepare for either yourself or your parents as they age amidst this crisis. So, welcome to the show as a guest, Joe.
Thank you, Kristen. Greg, nice to meet you, finally.
Hello, Joe.
So, I guess let's just set the foundation of this as far as something that you work with every day. How would you describe the situation we are in currently in Wisconsin when it comes to elderly care and assisted living?
Well, you said the word crisis more than once, and I cannot emphasize that enough, that it is indeed a crisis. This, I mean, we are entering a time when the boomers are entering their retirement age, and the average age in this country is just going up. Our retired population is just going through the roof. So long-term care should be a booming industry, but at least in this state, it's not. We're having more facilities closed down than we are open up over the last 5 years. Wow. And of course, you mentioned the staffing issues, the quality of care issues. It's a real problem. And if we don't address it soon as a society, then what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years is going to be pretty dire for us all, I would say.
And so maybe to actually scare everyone, what does dire
Let's do
look
that. Yeah, scare
what
them.
Does dire look like? What, I mean, does that mean people just dying at home and not getting killed? Like, what does that look like when you say dire, that it could be worse than what it is now?
Well, let's before we jump to that extreme, let's take the more realistic possibility is that if you need long-term care or someone you care about needs long-term care, you're not going to find a facility anywhere close to you. I recall seeing a segment, I think on CBS, maybe last year, about how a wife had to put her husband into a facility that was 5 hours away. Now, that's possibly going to be coming to Wisconsin fairly soon, particularly if in the more rural areas. You're going to be looking for a facility, and there either is not going to be anyone near you, or they're going to be full, or they're going to be requiring an upfront showing of an ability to pay privately that many people are not going to be able to afford. So they'll be looking far and wide for a facility that's going to be have a bed and maybe take them on Medicaid sooner than later if they don't have the funds to pay privately. That's the immediate problem. Second of all, if somebody needs facility care, I'm not supposed to say facility. I'm told I'm supposed to say community.
Okay.
But everyone knows them as facilities. But if there aren't any nearby, then what they're going to end up doing is they're going to be taking up hospital beds, unfortunately. And they're going to be staying in hospitals, and they're going to be racking up bills through that method. Some people do have the option of staying at home, being cared for by loved ones, by adult children, but that's a lot to ask of families nowadays. For the most part, facilities are in need, and we are going to have issues with them coming up.
So I want to talk about the policy aspect of this as far as what from our lawmakers, both in the state or federally, could be done to alleviate this problem?
Well, the easy answer is money. We don't have enough funds coming in to fund our long-term care system. How it works is about two-thirds of the population in long-term care facilities in this state are on Medicaid. Medicaid is the program that will help pay for long-term care, not Medicare. Very, very different. Very big difference. But the problem is that for folks who are on Medicaid, the amount that the facility receives from both the individual and from the state in reimbursement for Medicaid is below the cost of care. So if it costs, let's just say $7,500 a month to care for an individual in a nursing home, well, what they're going to be getting through the individual and through Medicaid is going to be somewhere along the lines of $5,000 or $5,500 a month. So the facility is not getting what it needs to take care of them. So what happens then is the private pay third of the residents, they got to pay a lot more than the cost of care just so the facility can keep its lights on. So what we need to do is recognize this problem, and we need to put more funds into our Medicaid reimbursement system to bring the payment up to at least somewhat reflect the cost of care, because otherwise we're going to have short staff and we're going to have more facilities closed down.
So, and that can be changed both at the state level and the federal level, or is it separate decisions that get made as far as how this gets funded federally versus in Wisconsin?
It's a little from column A, a little from column B. I think the most important thing that we need to focus on right now is at the state level. This is a nationwide crisis, but obviously we can focus primarily on Wisconsin. We need to have there are more funds that are going to be, that could be available for Medicaid at the state level. We got to find them. We got to make sure that funds are shifted. Now, Medicaid is a federal program, and that's where a lot of the money comes from, but the rules can be state specific, which is why we don't have to go to our United States senators. We don't have to go to our United States Congress people. We can go to our state representatives who live in town with us and let them know, hey, here are the numbers. Here's what's going on in our state with regards to long-term care system. I'm worried about my parents. I'm worried about me coming up. What's going to happen to us in the next couple of decades? We got to address this now, because we're so top heavy right now when it comes to the age of our population that it's just going to crash the system within the next 10, 20 years.
Because, and I think this is the gap, right? Because you don't need it until you don't need it, and you're healthy until you're not. And so what is the likelihood that someone will need long-term care?
Well, if we are blessed and lucky enough to reach age 65. And I say that with sincerity, because I, you know, deal with a lot of cases where that's not the instance, that doesn't happen. But if we are lucky enough to reach age 65, then we have entered an age period where there is a 70% chance that we're going to need long-term care at some point in the future.
70.
Yep. Yes. 70% chance we're going to need long-term care at some point in the future. And that's just for an individual. For married couples, if you're in that age range, that means if you play the math out, there's a 91% chance that one of the spouses is going to need long-term care, and just under 50% that they're both going to need long-term care. So this idea is, well, that's something for other folks. That's something that I'm not going to have to worry about. Here's my plan. I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to have Alzheimer's or dementia. I'm never going to have a stroke. I'm never going to have, my body's never going to fail me. That's just not a plan. That's playing with fire right there. It is not a certainty, but it's pretty darn close. And if you don't plan for it, you could be setting yourself and your family up for a heap of trouble.
Because that is, it's also, you know, I love that sometimes when people talk about who's going to take care of you when you're older if you don't have kids.
Right.
But the thing is, even if you have kids, the expectation that your kids have the training to be able to take care of you when you talk about recovering from a stroke, when you talk about someone who has Alzheimer's, when you talk about the high need of care that can happen by the time that you need to be living in an assisted or a long-term care facility, the likelihood that your children have the housing that is ADA approved so that you can live in there, let alone that they can help, I would imagine is low.
It's very low. It does not work out most of the time. It causes an immense amount of family stress. I recall an instance where a mother moved in with her son and daughter-in-law. Within 6 months, daughter-in-law moved out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It really puts a strain on the household. And now that marriage worked out because eventually mother moved into a facility, daughter-in-law moves back in. But yet both folks aren't ready for the training, aren't ready for the responsibility that involves taking care of an elderly person who needs help with getting changed, bathing themselves, using the bathroom, feeding themselves. It's an awesome responsibility. And if you're not prepared for it, and most of us are not, things are going to fall apart pretty quickly.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a break because I want to keep you through the break. We're going to talk about it in the next commercial. After the next commercial, a little bit more details as far as how much does this actually cost? How do people plan to pay for it? What protections are there? What does insurance, like long-term care insurance, actually look like? So we'll be a little less doom and gloom, a little bit more what you can do now to prepare for this.
Hopefully.
When we come back from the next break. But our guest is Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh. If you have any questions for him, are you willing to take some questions via text?
Please, yes.
All right, 844-967-2789. If you have any questions for the lawyer about long-term care planning, text them in, 844-96-PARTY. And we will be back right after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands lands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just a recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are talking to Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh, where he focuses on elderly care. And so we are talking about long-term planning and the fact that the staggering stat that you gave that anyone who lives past 65, there is a 70% chance that they will end up needing some kind of long-term assisted living care is a wild stat that I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about because, and they don't necessarily save for, because what, in your experience of working with people in with long-term care planning, what do they need to be beyond retirement to live off of? What is the expected annual cost of being able to live in long-term care?
It's not great. Okay. First of all, can you hear me?
We can.
Now that we're doing on the,
yes.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. So right now it depends on where you live in the state. It can vary a little bit, but if we're just talking, say, an assisted living facility, which is what most people consider would be moving into, you're still looking at somewhere in the range of $5,000 to $6,000 a month. If you're talking a nursing home, which is more extreme when you really need a lot of help around the clock care, it's more along the lines of $9,000 to $10,000 a month. Now, in your area, in the Milwaukee area, it's actually more along the lines of $12,000 a month for a nursing home. Now, that's just right now. I would love to say that these costs have plateaued, but obviously they have not. There is a really neat website that Genworth puts out where you can look at not only the costs around the country right now, but you can project into the future. So, Greg, may I pick on you?
What's stopping you from before?
Oh, Greg, you're more than lovely. Trust me. Thank you.
Marry me. Go on.
Now, Greg, can I ask you, how old are you?
I'm 45.
45. Okay. So now the average age of when folks go into a facility, assisted living or nursing home, is usually between 75 and 84. So let's just, we always hope for the best, but let's plan for everything. Let's just say at 75, you're going to be going into a long-term care facility.
Okay.
Now, you say it's a nursing home. Can you guess what the monthly cost is going to be for you?
Well, I mean, in a 30 years from now, my guess
years
is
from now,
probably going to be $25,000 to $30,000 a month.
Ding, ding, ding. $25,000 a month at a nursing home. And that's a statewide number. Good job, by the way. We'll send you home with a prize packet.
A McClear magnet for my fridge.
McClear merch.
I got a lot of swag I could send to you.
All right. So yeah, it's the prices are, the costs are astronomical. They're bad now. They're just going to get worse. So what people need is an ability to pay. But, you know, I talked about Medicaid. Well, here's the deal. Medicaid, because it does not pay the full cost of care, most facilities, the vast majority of facilities, will stop you at the door and say, hey, show us you can pay privately for a period of, you know, so it could be 6 months at the bottom end, could be 3 years on the high end. And they're not doing that to be greedy because they want those private funds. They're doing that because that's the only way they can keep the lights on, keep the doors open. So right now, ideally, and this is ideal, okay, don't feel bad if this is not going to happen to you. I always tell folks that ideally, when it comes to long-term care, each individual will have somewhere between $200,000 to $250,000 right now to set aside for long-term care costs. Because one, that's going to open more doors for you in terms of what facilities you want to go to. You want to go to the nicer facility. You want to go to the more local facility. The more funds you have available to you to go in there and say, look, I can pay privately for a year or two, then that's going to be more helpful for you in the long run. For most people, that's going to be their retirement accounts, their IRAs, their 401ks, their 403bs and the like. You have saved up for their retirement. If you have still some at the end when you need to get into a facility, well, there's not much we can do in terms of protecting that. So you have to look at that as a way of saying, all right, hey, nice facility in town. Look, I can pay privately for 2 years. Let me in. You're going to be in a much better position otherwise. But even if you don't have that ability, fret not. There are other options for you. If you are a veteran, or a surviving spouse of a veteran, there could be additional income sources for you from the VA to help pay for more, to help pay for long-term care costs. There's something called the aid in attendance benefit, which for wartime veterans or the surviving spouse could be anywhere from $1,500 a month to over $3,000 a month of additional income to help get you into a nicer facility. But other than that, you got to be prepared. Ideally, you have a good insurance policy. Long-term care insurance is its own product. They're really looking for people in that 45 to 55 range. People who are not going to need it for several decades. Mm-hmm. But even if you have passed that, you're in your 60s or even closer to 70s, you always could be options for you when it comes down to policies. There's your traditional policies, which works like healthcare policies where you use it or you lose it. But there are other types of policies that are more palatable where you can put a bunch of money into it. But if you don't actually need the long-term care, it can come back to your family. You get your premiums back or come back in the form of life insurance. A lot to cover. And I see we only got a couple of minutes left. I mean, this would be its whole hour long.
Well, we'll just have to have you back.
Exactly.
Jane and Greg will have you back when I'm on maternity leave.
Because
with childcare.
I for real have questions on planning because, you know, my mom has pretty planned to the hilt. She's doing everything. She's got her long-term care plan. She's got her estate plan. And I want to start thinking about that now versus later.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to contact you separately.
There you go. You got a new potentially. And I think my parents are also going to contact you. So we're just getting Joe business out here on As Goes Wisconsin. But Joe, thank you so much. We love that you are such a loyal listener and all the contributions you make as a listener. We love having you on as a guest. And this is so interesting. And also so, so, so important. So we will definitely have you back to dive more deeply into all of this when it comes to long-term planning. Joe McClear of McClear Law Office. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Love the show. Take care.
All right. Goodbye. We're going to be talking to Tom Still from Wisconsin Technology Council when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. The government could run out of money, causing a shutdown next weekend. Texas Republican Tony Gonzalez appeared on CBS's Face the Nation.
I don't want to see a shutdown, but in my experience, if you give Congress more time, they're just going to take that time. It doesn't, time does not equal solutions.
capsule containing the largest chunk of an asteroid ever brought to Earth safely landed in the Utah desert. This on NASA TV right after the touchdown.
This is a small step for a capsule and a giant leap for science.
It really is. And if that's one thing we can impart, that is it. This is a huge, huge milestone, a great achievement.
Ophelia was downgraded from a tropical storm, but is still bringing plenty of rain and floods to parts of the Northeast. National Hurricane Center's Larry Kelly.
It no longer is a tropical system. The wind died down below 35 miles per hour. So really, it's just the rainfall threat as it continues to move northeast and then exit the coast.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest. Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair, and we got Greg Bach on the board. Jane, what's coming up later today?
If you are a Brewers fan, you can listen to the game live today. Brewers at Cardinals. The game is at 12:15. You can listen live at WRJN, WRCE, and WISS in Oshkosh.
Absolutely. Brewers, how are we doing right now, Greg? Give us an update.
We're doing great. We're about seven games ahead. We crushed them last night. It was really, really fun to witness on my phone.
On your phone?
On my phone. Nice. Watching updates because I won't pay for Bally's.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's wrap up with one more text on our topic at the beginning of the hour of workforce development. What actually will move the needle? What do you think? And we have John from the Falls.
John from the Falls checking in. Good morning, everyone. Personally, I would try to strengthen the childcare sector and make it more affordable so that more people can actually accept jobs outside of the home. If CJ really believes tax cuts will help bring more people to the state to work, let's give it a try. Remove all state taxes on the first $40,000 that every person in the state earns and see what happens.
See what happens. I don't know.
I don't hate that.
I don't hate that.
Yeah.
But that is, and that technically would be a tax cut for everyone.
It would, yes.
Instead of $40,000.
Instead of just the really, 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 really rich people.
Well, technically before it was a tax cut for everyone, it was just a very small percentage.
Yeah. To the non-rich people. Yes.
So I wanted to move on because I don't think we can talk about this enough as far as when we try to talk about small D democratic solutions to bipartisanship, to mitigating how polarized we are and how we are in this place where so often we're talking about holding our nose and voting for the person we like the least. The least worst person.
Yes.
So I woke up this morning after my labor dream and it was like 5:45 and I did the thing that you shouldn't do, which is check your phone immediately and start scrolling. And who else did I see but Mr. Jay Weber from Right Wing Talk Radio. And I got this breaking news from him. And he said, ranked choice voting is awful. It's an awful, confusing mess that voters don't really understand and delays results for days. So much is done behind the scenes that it leaves openings for fraud. It's an effing awful idea, and other lawmakers should snuff this out quickly. And this is in response to an article yesterday, or news yesterday, that a bipartisan bill has a renewed effort to introduce ranked choice voting in congressional elections. And we've talked about Final Five voting on this program before. This is a bipartisan bill that's been introduced now, I think, multiple times. And as of yesterday, a bipartisan group of lawmakers in Madison did revive that effort. And this is specifically with congressional primaries or federal primaries. So for Congress and for Senate, which we would have one for next year.
Okay.
I don't know if this would actually get passed by next year.
Seems unlikely.
But I am a fan. So I am not on Jay Weber's side of this, shockingly.
What?
And I would love to hear from you. I have a little bit of a game of how I would like to explain Final Five voting using Wisconsin's favorite foods.
That's a great idea.
But I would also think, do you think it's confusing? Is Final Five voting in the way that what you know about it, is it confusing? Is it too confusing for us to
grasp?
Even think that we could ever consider this as a different model, because you know the model we're doing right now just works so well, and everyone's so happy with the results that we're getting.
Oh yes.
But give us a text. I think I have a lot to get through, so I'm not sure we're going to take calls. But shoot us a text 844-967-2789. Do you feel like Final Five voting is too complicated, or is it something that you think that we should work towards? And so, just briefly, how this works is it's an open primary. So right now, if you think about it, how we do our primary system, there's a Democratic primary and there's a Republican primary. And the person from each party who gets the most votes in the primary is the one who then is on the general ballot in the fall. And there's one from each party. And then there's independent or third party people who can sometimes get on the ballot. And this new scenario, everyone, no matter their party, would be on the same ballot in the primary.
So Democrats, Republicans, independents,
Everyone. And there isn't just the top Democrat and just the top Republican. So the way I think about this is, let's say we were having a vote of Wisconsin's favorite food.
All right.
So there's 11 different people running. There's 11 different products that are food products that are running to be Wisconsin's favorite food. And they're not separated by, you know, meat versus dairy versus drink. It is just food. Everyone is together.
Everyone is the food.
Everyone is the food. So we got Brandy Old Fashioned is running.
That's a t-shirt.
This is an order of, this is an alphabetical order of what I chose.
Okay.
You can judge me on which Wisconsin foods I chose as the top 11. There's Brandy Old Fashioned's running. Brats are running. Cannibal Sandwiches are running. They're the underdog. Cheese curds are running. Colby cheese, because everyone's always trying to say that Colby cheese should be Wisconsin's cheese, and then it immediately gets pushed back. We got cream puffs, Culver's butter burgers, custard,
General custard, because there's debate over which custard is the best.
Yeah, don't go there.
Fish fry, Kringle, Miller High Life. Spotted Cow decided not to run, so it's just Miller High Life.
Wow.
So, this is the open primary. Everyone who votes gets to vote for one.
Only one of the 11 foods.
You only get to one. We're not ranking yet.
Okay.
So, if you were to vote, Greg?
Yeah.
What would be your favorite? To get out of the primary of those 11, who would you vote for?
Because it was the one that I can remember quickest, I'm going to go with Old Fashioned.
Okay, Old Fashioned.
I select a Colby cheese, and I just want to say Cannibal Sandwich needs a better PR team because they got a tough fight.
So that's as simple as it would be in the primary selection. You would go in, you would vote for, it's an open primary, everyone's on there, you vote for your favorite, and then of those, the top five go on to the general.
The top five foods.
So it could be five desserts, it could be five drinks, we don't have five drinks, but it's not by party or, in this example, food type.
Okay.
So, in this next example, so let's say, sorry for both of you, your favorites did not get through.
Bummer.
So this is rigged.
So the five that made it to the general are the Brandy Old Fashioned. Oh, so you used it to get through. Brandy Old Fashioned, brats.
Okay.
Cheese curds.
Okay.
Fish fry, Miller High Life. So now, if we're voting, say it's November, we're voting in the general. Now, when you go in, you're not just voting for one. You're ranking those top five.
I have to put them in order of my favorites. Yeah.
So in this order, Jane, Brandy Old Fashioned, brats, cheese curds, fish fry, Miller High Life, 1 through 5.
I will go Brandy Old Fashioned,
okay,
cheese curds, fish fry. What am I missing?
Brats and Miller High Life.
Brats and Miller High Life.
Yeah, because you don't drink beer. And so I'm going to copy and paste this so I can remember your answers as well, Greg. What rank yours?
Fish fry, brats, cheese curds. The next one and Miller High Life. So
Miller High Life's last.
Yeah.
Brandy Old Fashioned.
Brandy Old Fashioned. Yeah.
Okay. So then that's your vote. Instead of voting for one, you rank five. And this way you know that your vote counts because even if you're top, so like for fish fry for you, if they don't win,
yeah,
then your vote will get counted as far as your second preference.
Oh.
So what happens is, so let's say the votes come in and for easy math, only 100 people voted. Brandy Old Fashioned got 5 votes. Brats got 20 votes. Cheese curds got 25 votes. Fish fry got 35 votes.
Ooh.
Miller High Life got 15. So in that scenario right now, no one has 50. No product has 50. Had any of those products had 50, like 50% or 50 votes, since there's only 100 votes, gotten just straight out that many people were like, this is our number one preference, boom, we have a winner. We have no reallocation of votes.
All right.
Instead, since the top earner so far is first preference only has 35, we take the bottom, which is Brandy Old Fashioned, which only got 5 votes, and we take those 5 votes and we look at who their second preference was, and we give those, we redistribute those. So now, because Brandy Old Fashioned had 1 vote for brats, 2 votes for cheese curds, 1 vote for fish fry, 1 vote for Miller High Life, now everyone's total goes up of the 4 that are remaining. And we keep doing that. So in the next round, Miller High Life, no one still has 50. So the top fish fry now has 36 because they got 1 of Brandy Old Fashioned's votes. So now, Miller High Life, lowest one. Their 16 votes get reallocated, and they look at their second preference. And so we keep going until we get 50. And so basically what happens is people run campaigns instead of just pointing their finger and saying how bad that guy is. They want to run a more positive campaign because if they're not going to be your first favorite, they at least want to be your second favorite.
Yeah.
I get it.
Do you?
I do.
How was that? The visuals, with just the verb, just words trying to explain it with food, how'd I do?
I think that was really great.
I enjoyed that lesson completely, but you know what? No, I'm serious. I like that. But here's the thing is, I understand why this confuses Jay Weber.
Oh. Yeah. Meow.
I see you on Twitter X.
And... So, no one, I think this is the advantages of this, I think, are it cleans up our politics. It gets people's vote that it actually counts. It makes people accountable to the actual person who is the most popular ends up winning versus in the system that we have now, you don't even need 50%. If there's three candidates, you don't need 50%.
Yeah.
What I do think is complicated, what complicates it right now in the way that this bill, I think, is being proposed, is that it would only be for federal seats. And so you're giving the opportunity to, for the clerks, they now have two election systems to run. So I feel, for me, I feel like if we're going to do this, it has to be all or nothing.
All or nothing?
Because it's already, our clerks are so overworked already and under-resourced that to have different voting machines, a different voting tabulation process, and not give them any more resources to actually do both, especially if you think about if we were, say we were magically going to be able to do this next year, mm-hmm. that means, you know, what we would do in the primary in August for all eight congressional seats and both primaries for, or a primary for a Senate seat would be different than all of the state legislative seats that will be up. And then same thing for the general, it'd be two different voting systems.
Yeah, that's, so like, that's a mess.
That to me, and other states have done it. Maine has done this. Alaska has done this. This was notorious last year when that's how Sarah Palin did not get a congressional seat.
She couldn't believe it.
But I don't know. I'm going to pause there with a couple of minutes that we have and see if we have any, do we get any text or if we get any feedback on whether or not I did this well.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. From the 541, instead of ranked choice voting, would Mr. Weber be on board with majority winner, 50% plus one, and runoff elections?
I would have to ask him.
And then from the 608, final four or five voting is great. It stops us from being held hostage by the small fraction of a fraction that vote in August primaries. Decide elections in November with wider audiences, and let's have candidates that enough people are satisfied with. People can figure it out, and we'll probably find it interesting. Again, that's the food explanation you gave, I think, is the clearest explanation that people can wrap their head around.
So I should make a video about it?
I think you should.
Is that a maternity leave
project?
Yes,
right. Absolutely.
Greg, will you help me write some more jokes to go into it?
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, we'll continue to talk about this because I do think, I mean, I don't know how much legs this has because, like I said, I do think it's complicated to have two different systems running, but I don't think Final Five voting is complicated. So I reject the premise
it's too
that Jay Weber says it's too confusing for voters. Like, voters are smarter than you give them credit for.
414, real quickly. Good morning. I don't like it because Republicans would never win.
There you go. All right. When we come back, listen to the sound for breaking glass because we're going to do it right now, actually. Breaking glass.
There it is.
Call now if you want to win $100 and be prepared to tell us what you're going to spend your $100 on. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You can't get enough, but enough ain't the test. Transmission and your live wire. We got your fuel line and a handful of blues you want.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matnair and Greg Bach. And listen to the sound of glass breaking for your chance to win a $100 Visa gift card sponsored by Auto Glass Now. Glass breaking. all right. Well, we have two callers in line, so there's still time for you to call 844-967-2789. This is when I have voluntarily given myself the very, very difficult job of asking you, how would you spend $100? And then we hear the first three callers, and then I have to make the choice, which it's has tough. Been tough. The it's last tough 2 job. Weeks we've done this has been very hard. But now I have Jane as a co-host, so I'm going to help. You have to help me.
Okay.
And Greg, you can help too if you want. But
gee, thanks.
It's a lot of responsibility. Do you want that kind of responsibility? I still feel guilt.
Me judging people and their decisions? Of course I love it.
All right. Well, call in. We still need one more caller, but we have two on the phone, 844-967-2789. Let's start with Tom from Grafton. Tom from Grafton, how would you spend $100 if he gave it to you today?
Well, my brother has a 9/11 birthday, and he's always said that since the tragedy of 9/11, you know, 20 some years ago, that it's ruined his birthday. So I'm making a point of taking him out actually this evening for a little birthday gathering, and I'm going to take him to a decent restaurant. And so I would put the money towards that.
Nice.
And I have a nice gift for him too. That's the truth.
Do you have is it in Grafton, or what would be the restaurant of your choice?
It'll be on the south side of Milwaukee, the suburbs.
Okay. Nice. You want to give him you want to give him a shout out as one of your favorite restaurants? It's okay if you don't.
The packing house is very nice on Layton. Very, very good steak.
There you go.
That is a good steak place, Tom. Definitely.
There you go. Yeah. See? People recognize that one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. So, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Hang on, Tom. Don't hang up.
We'll come back to the person that we choose to get your information. All right. Then we have Scott from Chicago. Scott from Chicago, how would you spend $100?
Morning.
Good morning.
I would actually give it to a friend of mine. She is a human trafficking survivor, and for the last 3 years for Thanksgiving, she has made Thanksgiving dinners for people in the community. Last year, she made, I think, upwards of 300 meals, and she was in the process of making food for about 2 weeks. And so I'd love to just give her that $100 to help go towards making those meals.
Wow.
Does she have a program or like something that we can plug as far as a website that where she people can find and contribute to her unbelievable generosity?
I don't think in that way, but she does have a business, Hero Bands, where she like makes wristbands for people who are encouraging, also employs human trafficking survivors, as well as making bands to encourage children that have been extracted from trafficking. Well, HeroBands.com.
HeroBands.com. Okay, I'll put that in the show notes today. Your friend sounds awesome. That's a great way to spend $100.
Yeah.
Stay in the line. Don't hang up. And then do we have one more?
No, I think the minute the guy, Scott said what he said, the third caller dropped off.
I'm sorry, but Scott's going to, that's tough to beat.
That's tough to beat.
That's tough to beat.
That's a tough one to beat. And we don't have another caller, so I think we're going to give it to Scott because yes. Thanksgiving is coming up. Tom, I also totally appreciate that you want to take your brother out.
For a nice dinner. That's lovely.
This is so hard.
It is hard.
Yeah,
it is hard.
I've been so impressed with people's generosity as far as how they want to spend, how they would spend $100. Yeah. It's great to hear. It's hard to choose.
Yeah. No. I agree. I think everyone I've heard so far has always been like, I'm going to give it to someone else.
I know.
Or to an organization. It's not, someone did text shoes.
I understand that sentiment. Yeah. I understand that sentiment, yeah. But yeah. No.
So all Scott, right. Stay on the line.
Scott,
I'm going to talk
to
you.
Tom, thank you so much for calling.
Have a lovely dinner.
And still take out your brother because that is lovely and he deserves to enjoy his birthday.
For sure.
But this also, just a reminder, this comes as the Auto Glass Now, which offers faster, reliable, and convenient service. Visit the Waukesha location on East Moreland Boulevard today.
Stop
Such
in.
Such generous. We still have two more. You have to do this next week.
I know.
Are you going to keep the same question?
It's so hard. It's so hard. It is. Nobody wants to play judge, and jury, except for Greg.
Like, it sounds like Greg does.
I do. But even when Scott called, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah that's okay. All right.
We're doing this for two more weeks.
Yep. And again, this is all because of their generosity.
This is all because of Auto Glass Now. And I asked, I was like, is this not a, it's not a gift card for to use services from Auto Glass Now? It's just $100.
I wonder if maybe they ask themselves the question, like it's almost an experiment to say, we want to give these away. We want to know what people are. That was your idea though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they, cause I just, the idea that so far everyone has been generous with it. No one has said even if you said I'm going to pay for my child's whatever, it's still a generosity. No one's saying I'm going out in the town and having drinks for everyone.
I think that says something about our listeners though, which I take pride in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it does. It is very reflective.
And refreshing.
Yes.
And I was trying to think of another R-E word and I couldn't think of it. We'll blame the baby.
Refracting.
I'll end on this story. So it was National Voter Registration Day this week. And I made a couple TikToks about it that very much flopped as far as what video, compared to videos sometimes I post. This one was, no one was very interested. So I'm a little jealous. For a lot of reasons most of the time, but today, while I had I think 500 people saw my video, go register. Taylor Swift.
Oh, dear.
Is responsible for 35,000 new registered voters.
Wow.
And a Taylor Swift Instagram post drove record-breaking web traffic to vote.org this week and helped the site register more than 35,000 new voters. And it's just another example of her influence,
yes.
to say the least,
yes.
on American life between the economy and now the voter base. So I will say I'm a little jealous of that that influence. And I'm like, I'm a little sad. I don't think I inspired as many people to register to vote this week. But thank you, Taylor, because that's pretty cool.
Hey, 500, at least people, 500 people saw it. Maybe all of them registered.
There you go.
That's, check their registration.
Let's look at the bright side.
That is
Don't
not.
Don't compare yourself to the biggest pop star in the world.
Yeah, no. That you're setting yourself up for a bad day.
All right. Well, when we come back, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here for a public service announcement. If you have any health questions, text them in now. Call them in now, 844-967-2789. And then after that, at 11:30, we will talk to Paul Noonan for some sports. Stay tuned. We got a lot left. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Nothing is better than you.
Stop making sense. Stop making sense. Stop making sense. Making sense. I got a girlfriend. She's
Cranberry.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.